Next week, the latest Indiana Jones film, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, releases in theaters. The original trilogy of films are some of my absolute favorites, but I've never reviewed them on my channel. It's time to fix that. Today, I'm going to review Raiders of the Lost Ark. Hi, my name is Sean, and I love to talk about movies and TV way too much. With that in mind, go ahead and join me down below in the comment section. Let me know, what do you think about Raiders of the Lost Ark? This is a spoiler review, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, go watch the movie. It's one of the best films of all time. Then come back over here and hear the perspective of someone who's been watching the film for over 30 years now. With that said, let's get started with a little bit of a retrospective on the creation of the film. So back in the late 70s, Steven Spielberg and George Lucas were two up-and-comers in Hollywood, but they were very far away from the legends that they have become. They were starting to form a friendship, and they actually created this kind of tradition of whenever they'd have new releases come out, they would go on a little vacation together and hang out. And this goes all the way back to 1977 when George Lucas was working on Star Wars and Steven Spielberg was working on Close Encounters of the Third Kind, both of them space movies, both of them with spaceships. Each of them thought the other person was making the better film. Each of them believed in the other person more than they believed in themselves. And so much so that they actually traded points on each other's movies to where Steven Spielberg makes money off the original Star Wars and George Lucas makes money off of Close Encounters of the Third Kind because they traded their director back in points on the movies. Steven Spielberg came out ahead on that one, but I think George Lucas is going to be okay. But during one of these escapes, they started talking, and Spielberg was talking about how he wanted to make a James Bond film. He loved James Bond. He loved these globe-trotting adventure films that were episodic and wanted to make his own movie like that.
And I said, well, you know what? I've always wanted to direct a James Bond picture. And George, so I got that beat. I said, what do you mean? He said, I have a better idea.
And George Lucas very famously said, I've got an even better idea. Indiana Smith at the time.
And so I sat down and kind of told him the story about this archaeologist and how it was like a Saturday night news serial, and he got in one mess after another, and he just said, fantastic, let's do this.
And they went off and they started working on the project. Also, infamously, George Lucas didn't want to cast Harrison Ford in the role because he didn't want to have like this one guy that was perceived of as his guy. So they did a big casting call, hired Tom Selleck of all people into the role. He was gonna do it.
Look, I did what I did. I don't expect you to be happy about it, but maybe it can do us both some good.
Why start
just
now?
Just shut up.
But then the clause, like Magnum PI went through, ended up being stuck shooting this TV show Magnum PI rather than being able to star in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And when it comes to like television stars of the last 40 years, Tom Selleck is one of the biggest television stars of the last 40 years, a big part of that being Magnum PI because it was a big, gigantic hit TV show. So by any normal standards, he's had an incredible career. But at the same time, this is also a scenario of he almost starred in the quintessential action movie of all time, the quintessential adventure film of all time that propelled Harrison Ford even more so into A-list stardom that Tom Selleck never fully had. The way that he starred in some movies, he had Three Men and a Baby, Mr. Baseball, other things. He had his moments. But he never turned into like this A-lister with long-term movie stardom the way Harrison Ford, of course, has done so. But they set out to create this adventure film that was pulling inspiration from all of these old serials that they grew up on, trying to have kind of that James Bond feel. So the globe-trotting, why do we go to all these different countries? Why is there a different girl in each one of the movies? Well, that's what you see in the Bond films as well. So the two hottest up-and-comers in Hollywood decided to team up to make this movie. And they needed a script, so they got the guy that had just done Empire Strikes Back. So they get one of the hottest screenwriters that was up and coming, and you just had a bunch of people young enough to just have this youthful energy to them that were in their creative prime, and they just went for it. And you end up getting this very special film with a very special lead character, a set of very special side characters that became beloved. And that'll lead us into our review. And if you've been following my channel for any amount of time, you know Raiders of the Lost Ark is one of my top 10 favorite movies of all time. Steven Spielberg is my favorite director of all time. Harrison Ford is one of my favorite actors of all time. And this is a movie that essentially created the template and the point of comparison for every other adventure film. To where, when you think of the adventure genre as we know it, you don't really think of anything before this movie. And everything since this movie, you go back to this movie. Whether you're talking about Uncharted, The Mummy, they're always creating things that are borrowing from the template that was created and perfected over 40 years ago now, where just all the elements came together. And you look back on it now, and Harrison Ford, of course, has become or became one of the biggest, like top three movie stars of the 80s and 90s. Steven Spielberg, of course, became this legendary director of the last 40 years. John Williams, widely regarded as the GOAT, the greatest composer of all time. And looking back, it's like, wow, how'd all this, and of course, George Lucas, one of the great visionaries. So how did all this come together? And it was one of those things to where the top talent all kind of discovered each other at the same time. As kind of this transition was happening in Hollywood into this modern era of blockbusters, modern era of very quickly moving films that are exciting, that have action, that have comedy. And this guy, John Williams, starts to get into movies, right as this guy named Spielberg is getting into movies, and this guy named Lucas is getting into movies. And all of it, this talent just happened to come together, and through various collaborations, they just put out these incredible pieces that have stood the test of time and become incredible franchises that we're still watching to this day and getting new movies from them to this day. And just it's crazy how much talent is in these movies. Like Alfred Molina, Doc Ock in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies and then No Way Home. Just a side character. Just like a side character in the beginning of the movie, and he's gone on to be this very famous actor throughout the decades. Just a little side character. And it's wild the way some points in time, certain movies just become these points where so much talent emerges. Certain TV shows just bring out so much talent. And it's weird sometimes where they're not even hits. This, of course, was a massive hit. Sometimes they're not even big hits, though. And there's just so much talent that comes out of them. And this is one of those films that just kind of solidified all of this stuff. Do you think George Lucas, I mean, he did American Graffiti before. That was a hit, big hit film. And then he does Star Wars, which is a massive film. But does he have another idea? Is he just the Star Wars guy? George Lucas. Now, he'd had Jaws, and they had Close Encounters, and then he had a bomb with 1941. So did he just get lucky with his first couple of films? Or this is very early on in their careers and a lot compared to where they've turned into. What came afterwards is so early in their careers. And then they come up with another fantastic idea. And John Williams has another fantastic score. And Harrison Ford, he's not just Han Solo. In fact, somehow he's even better. Like, as a leading man, like, he just dominates the screen. He's so charismatic. He's so entertaining. He's so good in these types of roles. It all goes back to this movie that just so much talent at the perfect moment to deliver the movie that every adventure film is compared to. So what are some of the ingredients that go into making this movie so special? Of course, you got to go with the lead character. When this movie came out, it was just Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that's what I'm going to call it. So I'm not going to even call him the title character yet. We get to that in all the future films. But Indiana Jones, as he became known, They didn't like the name Indiana Smith. They went, I want a classic, like, American name, but Smith doesn't have the right flow to it. Boom, Indiana Jones. Jones, another classic American name. There it is. Indiana Jones, the quintessential adventurer. This handsome man that is incredibly intelligent. He's witty. He's a man of action. But at the same time, he's always in over his head. He doesn't know exactly what he's doing. He's making it up as he goes along in his adventures. And he's not really like a hero. He kicks off and he's like, you know, breaking into tombs to steal relics to put in museums in America. And his interest in getting the Ark isn't really like this faith-based journey. It's not really all that much about like stopping the Nazis. He doesn't like the Nazis, but it's not really him as this heroic guy. So he's someone that has flaws. Even as soon as you stop and think about his relationship with Marion, you listen to the dialogue, and even in this movie that was made 40 years ago, set almost 100 years ago, set 90 years ago, the dialogue in it is, you're like, I was a child, you knew it was wrong. And you go, oh, this guy's a little pretty shady. This is not just a classic hero in so many regards, but he is someone that's slowly getting a little bit better. And as he goes through his adventures, he starts to do the right thing towards the end in a number of ways. And he has a good side to him. He's not villainous, but he is very flawed. And that's what makes him interesting and compelling. He's not just good old, he's not Captain America. He's not Steve Rogers that's like, the right thing to do is to sign up to go fight the Nazis. Everyone else has to serve. I should have to serve. Like, he's not that straight-laced person. He's chasing fame and glory. He's chasing after riches and being the guy that discovered things. Like, he has all these very ego-driven goals in so much of what he's doing. There's all these ways in which implies he's good as a professor in certain senses, but in other ways, he's off doing all of his adventures too. He's doing all this other stuff. It just makes for a character that, in the classic language, every guy wants to be, every girl wants to be with, because he has all of these characteristics to him that make him interesting, that makes just like desirable qualities. Good looking, intelligent, person of action, successful, and clever, witty. He might find himself in over his head all the time. He might not really have a great plan.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
But he just keeps fighting, keeps working until he's the one that's triumphant in the end, or at least the one that doesn't die at the end of the film, because he uses his head. He's more than just person of action, and he's more than just Professor Jones. He's all of those things at the same time. Along the same lines, Marion, great character, where in small lines of dialogue, you're able to understand there's a history there, that these two people really like each other, but you also very quickly neither one of them do you think, like obviously in any traditional modern sense of appropriate relationships, the implications, this is a wildly inappropriate relationship. But in other senses, you don't really perceive of her as this victim that is being manipulated and pushed around. She's very strong-willed. She knows what she wants. She's willing to fight back. She's clever herself. She's trying to escape on her own. She's getting in fights. She's out drinking people. She's in her own ways clever. She's a very strong character. But the dynamic of their relationship, very weird, as soon as you stop and think about it. But there's still also those feelings for each other. They're two very wild card type personalities that makes them drawn to each other, but also so chaotic in the way that they live that it's tough for them to settle down with each other. And that's fun and it's interesting. Two people that have great chemistry. They banter back and forth really well. They play off of each other. She fires back at him. She's totally fine confronting him. She's not in any way docile, submissive, anything like that. She will let him have it. But she also really likes to go off on these wild, crazy adventures with him. And then you get into our villains. And it's a movie that kind of very wisely gives us several layers of villains. Where we've got kind of a fellow globe-trotting grave robber of sorts that is willing to team up with Nazis. He has, you can see him as just like a more evil version of Indiana Jones. If Indiana Jones went down the wrong path, if had less of a moral compass, all of a sudden, oh, the Nazis will fund me. I'll team up with the Nazis. But Indiana Jones has enough of a sense of morality, enough to be like, those guys, no, that's not it. And but he also is intelligent. He's smart. He's the person that kind of come up with a plan, knows the history. And so on that level, he's the person that is able to compete with Indiana Jones. But he's not a man of action. He's not the person that is ruthless and violent in his own ways. He is someone that knows how, he knows Indy is the guy that is the person of action. So he'll follow right behind him and use his own wits to outmaneuver him, like at the beginning of the movie. Establishing right out of the gate, right from the opening sequence, Indiana Jones charges in. And this other guy, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to follow right behind. And I speak the language of these people. I'm going to cut a deal with them so I'm able to get it. So you have someone that is a foe that competes with Indy with his intelligence. And then you have these ruthless Nazis and just this very creepy guy that is not actually physically intimidating. In no way do you see this guy and think he could beat Indiana Jones in a fight at all. And he's not yelly. He's not shouty. He's not someone that does the traditional things that make someone intimidating. It's none of that. He walks in, talks slowly, quietly, and you just know he's up to something and he's willing to do anything. And he starts playing around with coals in a scene. You go, oh crap, what's he about to do? What's going to happen here? And then he starts threatening to like boil eyes out of a face, like with a burning hot fire poker. Totally fine to do it. Almost seems like he's a little joyful to do it. Kind of excited about the concept. He's not at all intimidating based off of imposing figure, shouting, just quiet, calculating, and so creepy. So much so that a scene later in the movie, he walks into a tent. We've seen Marion is up to shenanigans, trying to escape, clearly up to no good. He walks in. He's not in the mood for that. And he pulls this thing out, just this chain and black, and he just pulls it taut. And you just go, oh, what is he about to do? Like, what's he going to torture? Like, you're thinking torture. And you see what, there's not like knives on it. It's not coming out of a fire. There's nothing about it in itself that is all that crazy, but it's unclear what it is. And you know he is willing to torture people. And then he just does this and it's a hanger. And that's the power of a well-crafted character. With the writing, the directing, and the casting. That performance. To where there's so many ways in which this guy shouldn't be nearly as memorable as he is. That he shouldn't stand out. He shouldn't be as intimidating. But he is. Because they nailed capturing that energy and that vibe so, so well. And then, of course, with this movie, you got to talk about the action, the adventure. And it probably isn't as action-packed as you think it is. Well, if you're younger, then you probably pick up on that more so if you're kind of more my age and grew up with it. By today's standards, it's not that action-packed. It's not that fast-paced. But at the time, this was like action-packed, fast-paced. It's moving constantly. And because it created a pacing that has been replicated and sped up since it came out, it doesn't feel quite as impressive now as it did at the time. But you have this movie that has, I think, four or five of these clear set action set pieces, and every one of them has become iconic. Not just memorable, not just that was cool and exciting, iconic. Of course, the intro sequence that just communicates so much about Indiana Jones, that he's a person of action, that he has rivals, that he's clever and he's thinking. He doesn't just run in there. He's looking for the traps. He sees them and he's trying to figure out how to not get in trouble. But you also realize right out of the gate, he's also always in over his head. And of course, the iconic scene with him trying to like weigh the sand to measure it out, even though it seems like he's not very good at measuring out how much sand would equal gold. And leading up to just that shot of him being chased by a gigantic boulder that's so wild and crazy, but also so iconic. Everyone knows that scene. And then, of course, even the bar fight becomes this famous adventure because of the little details. You know, he walks into the bar and it does this silhouette shot of him there. And it uses silhouettes all throughout the sequence to kind of show what's kind of going on with it. They have important little details in the sequence where the medallion falls into a fire. So everyone's trying to get it. And our Nazi leader guy, I always forget his name, reaches and grabs it, burns onto his hand. It's like a little detail that has such an important plot thing to it that we want to have one more action sequence right there that we're all competing to get these same things. And so, yeah, we had some action right there. Let's have some fun with it. It had some edge, like the blood pouring down the faces, little things that like have more edge than you're expecting. But also, it gives the reason why the Nazis have the medallion. Also gives a reason why the Nazis with the medallion and way more resources are still behind Indiana Jones and his crew of people. So little things like that, like all these little differences of like what makes a sequence fun, memorable. And then you get the chase in the market that is classic Indiana Jones, where it's so playful, where the score fills a lot of that out, but it's fighting while like knocking over baskets and people are like getting mad, like, why are you not going over the baskets? Of course, the famous sequence where the guy is swinging the sword. There's supposed to be a big fight that day, but Harrison Ford had food sickness. He was like really sick that day. So he just couldn't do a fight. So they're like, they improvise this idea of like, what if you just look so annoyed? You're just so frustrated that this guy wants to fight you and you've been doing all this stuff. And you just like, pull out your gun and shoot the guy. And it's so funny as just this little moment that doesn't need to be overplayed. It sets up this big fight. And then you're like, oh yeah, he has a gun on his belt. Why would he get in a fight with a guy with a sword? It's all these little playful little bits. And then leads into later on, where they do the gross out bit where they have to escape the tomb and you have the fight around the plane. And just, it's by modern day standards, it's not that spectacular because it's a fist fight with some stuff kind of going on around it, but nicely written, nicely directed, crafted to where fist fight is all of a sudden way more fascinating because you have Marion accidentally getting stuck inside the plane that's circling out of control and she doesn't really know how to control it while gasoline is pouring out and a fire is over there. So you've created a ticking clock in the middle of a fight sequence. And you have Indy fighting a guy that's clearly much bigger than him, who knows he can win. He's a trained boxer. He just has this like, oh, finally a guy I can box. And he's just messing with him. Now, this guy, if he didn't realize he was fighting someone just as ingenuitive and just clever as Indy, he would have grabbed a gun and just shot him. But he's like, oh, I just punched this dumb American. And he's boxing with him all while we see gasoline rushing towards a fire. And Marion's stuck inside the plane. And the plane and its blades are swinging all around Indy, who is not actually a better fighter than this guy. And that's the fun of Indiana Jones. That he should lose the fight, but he's always just on thinking on his feet. Always just willing to scrap, do whatever he needs to do to win. And comes out triumphant with a little bit of luck and a lot of paying attention for the little moments. And of course, the guy gets hit by the blades and that's a lot of fun. All of it leading into the great little car chase where it's the sort of thing where once again, by today's standards, we have these far more fantastic car chases where Vin Diesel literally puts cars in space, but with CGI and spectacle, and it's just cranking up the size of things without narrowing down on what really makes for a thrilling sequence, wowing people where you care about it. And in the case of this movie, we're racing to get control of the arc. We don't need every crazy, insane spectacle thing out there. We care about Indy surviving and him getting control of the arc while facing a whole bunch of people. And there's no reason that he should win, but he's able to keep outsmarting them, outmaneuvering them, doing just the right things to be able to get control of the vehicle and like push them off the side of the road, bumping motorcycles into trees and all this little stuff. But there's still a lot more of them. And they outmaneuver him at times, all leading to these fantastic stunts where they, of course, the most famous one of the guy going underneath the truck that is pulled from Stagecoach, this great bit that in the movie Stagecoach, it plays like in like a single shot where a guy is like between these horses, falls down between horses, and then a stagecoach rolls over him. And when, even now, watching it, as soon as you go, the guy really did that? Like he could have been trampled if like the stagecoach, like this is a real stagecoach, goes a little bit off, he rolls over him. And so Steven Spielberg, George Lucas come up with like, let's do the bigger, better version of that, where you have a guy slowly go underneath a truck and be dragged by it, all while trying to pull himself back up and regain control of the vehicle. And it's just thrilling because you're seeing something real. You're seeing a person do that thing, which is crazy. And when you're watching this Fast and the Furious stuff, a lot of times you know you're watching a super advanced cartoon. When you're watching a Marvel movie, you know you're watching a super advanced cartoon. And when you watch a guy go under a truck in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know you're watching a guy go over under a truck in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Now, I don't really have any negatives for this film, but if you do stop and think about it, there's like 30 minutes left after the last big action sequence. So it plays quite differently than modern day movies. And it, even with the big chase being way before the end of the film, you still have an iconic end to the movie that Indy, it gets to a point in time to where he's shooting pointing the bazooka at him and everything. And this guy knows you're not going to blow this up. You want to see what happens too. You're just as curious as me. There's no way I'm going to blow this up. So might as well surrender. Come on down here. See what we're going to do. Even that, Indy's little like pride and ego, Indy's personality of the way it plays out. It's not that he is even kind of victorious in any traditional sense. He kind of gets captured because I do want to see what's going to happen. It's pulled down and they open it up and you just get this just famous sequence of people exploding, catching on fire and exploding with good old fashioned 80s effects where they're like making wax heads that melt and blowing them up. And there's such fun effects to watch where they don't have CGI and you just have to find a way to just do something horrifying that kind of looks like it's real life. They're fun. And then, of course, the movie ends with the famous shot of the Ark of the Covenant that, if you're in church world, it is one of these kind of great mysteries. What happened to it? Where is it? And it's so important in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And we don't know where it is. And then they put an answer in this movie. Oh, it's locked away in just this warehouse that the United States government has. Such a great little beat to end the movie on. But yeah, it's just fascinating because of even the way it's structured. That if the movie, you play out the movie, remove Indiana Jones from it. Nazis eventually find Ark. They open it up to make sure it's good for the Fuhrer and they all die. You move them from the movie and it still has the same finale. Which is kind of fascinating how ineffective and ineffectual he is at changing the end result of the film in certain senses. But it doesn't really matter at the same time because it's about being on this quest with him, being on this journey and watching all the ways in which he wins and all the ways that he loses. And that's what's interesting. That's what makes it unpredictable. That's what makes it thrilling. They're characters you want to spend time with that are challenged, that are in over their head. And it's only their wits that keeps them alive. It's only their wits that give them the little moments inside of it. And I didn't talk about it too much. You know, it's just the right amount of humor. Just nice little humor in there. You know, every movie nowadays is action adventure plus comedy, but they're like way heavy on the comedy. And sometimes that works great. And other times it's like, that's too much. You watch Raiders of the Lost Ark and it's not moving nearly at the pace of comedy that modern blockbusters move. But they're solid laughs. And they're jokes and they're gags that you remember. You think all of these throwaway jokes in Marvel movies, you don't actually remember that many jokes. They might make you laugh when you watch it in the theater, but you don't remember these iconic little bits. Whereas these moments in Raiders are actually great jokes that stay with you for a while. That's pretty cool. Anyway, so that's my thoughts on Raiders of the Lost Ark. I do think it's one of the great films of all time. It is one of my favorite films of all time. It is the standard by which all adventure films are measured. And it solidified Harrison Ford as an A-list leading man that has lasted now for 40 years. It solidified that Spielberg and Lucas are the real deal. Lucas is this guy that is packed with incredible ideas and not just Star Wars. Spielberg can direct a thriller at sea. He can direct a sci-fi movie that's thoughtful and incorporates music. Not so good at screwball World War II comedies. And he can do adventure films, like very versatile. And he did movies before that as well, but like very versatile set of films in a very narrow window of time. And of course, John Williams, once another fantastic score. And so anyway, all that to say, it's fantastic. I showed it to my kids and they were not as thrilled. It was heartbreaking on so many levels. Overall, of course, A+, entertainment scale, 10 out of 10. And this is a true must-see movie. This is, if you're a cinephile, if you love movies, you have to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. And you probably have watched Raiders of the Lost Ark. You can check out my ranking of all of the Steven Spielberg movies right over there. And I'll be reviewing the rest of the Indiana Jones films over the next week and a half. Thank you so much for watching, and keep talking movies and TV too much. Bye-bye.